Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Joining us now is the great John Ondrasik. We're fighting live early in the morning. Where are you, John?
Hey, Tony, what's up? I'm at home in L.A. Good to see you, buddy.
And you're a UCLA guy, so it's great to see you. And I'm glad we appreciate you coming on, because I know you've been all over the world. You've been in Tel Aviv at Hostage Square back in, April 13th. You're a UCLA guy. And then you also spoke a couple days ago, right, at the AJC Global the event is that was on the UCLA campus. So I know you've done a lot of great songs, and you really are pro-Israel, because most people in America are pro-Israel. You don't have to hate Palestinians or not understand their cause. But what you've been doing has been great, because not only do you write great songs and sing them, but you write songs that have meanings, all of them, including the Superman song back in the early days.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a wild whirlwind the last few weeks, you know, going to Israel and performing at Hostage Square. My new song, OK, that kind of talks about October 7th and the aftermath for the hostage families, meeting with the hostage families, meeting with IDF soldiers. And, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, this song as pro-Israel, but I would say it's basically just pro-good versus evil. You know, I have a woman in my video of OK, a Palestinian woman calling out Hamas, and I can't think of anything braver than that, a woman in Gaza calling out Hamas. So it's really about, you know, supporting those who are, you know, fighting for civilization against those who want to tear it down. And we see a lot of those kind of radicals, unfortunately, on our campuses. Certainly free speech is primary and critical, but what we're seeing on our campuses is not free speech. And I talk to students every day, and the stories are horrifying.
Now, what you saw at UCLA on your own campus, I know the chancellor out there is in the hot seat. People in the media are claiming that what the police did was brutality. I mean, how do you stop this? I mean, the police had to go in. Don't they eventually? I mean, you can't have these campuses destroyed, because it's not just peaceful protest and people are saying it's peaceful. It's not. We've seen it. We have visual evidence of what's going on.
Tony, at UCLA, Jewish students were assaulted and sent to the hospital. At UCLA, Jewish students were barred from walking across campus by their fellow students. At UCLA, they had wristband checkpoints where they were asking students, what is your religious affinity? And if they said Jewish, they were blocking them from crossing the quad. That is not free speech. Chanting death to Jews in front of Jewish students, that violates codes of conduct of universities. So you don't see this happening in the SEC, Tony, right? You don't see this happening in Florida, because they actually enforce laws. When you break laws, there are consequences. So certainly we value free speech, but that's an excuse, because if any of these kids were chanting death to Muslims, death to African Americans, assaulting Muslim students, asking Muslims, what is your religious affinity? And if they said Muslim, blocking them from walking across campus, we know this would not be happening. So it's hypocritical. Most of these folks don't care about Palestinians. If they did, they would have been marching when Syria gassed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. So it's radicalism, it's anti-Semitism, and anybody who thinks it's anything different, I think, are foolish.
John Ondrasik, who is five for fighting and does a great job. He's been to Philly. I've been to L.A., see him. I've met him in L.A. He comes to Philly. I see him when he comes on the East Coast, and always doing great stuff. So there's a video and the song, and I know it's out there, right? So how do people get to see it and listen to it?
Yeah, the song is called OK. The video, even though the theme is we're not OK, because we're definitely not OK in the media, in our obviously our college institutions, the Rashida Tlaibs of the world. It's on YouTube, Five for Fighting, OK. Certainly, you can see on Twitter my performance at Hostage Square. And you can see my speech I gave at UCLA a few days ago that seems to be resonating across the country. Five for Fighting, music, Instagram, fiveforfighting.com. It's all there. John Ondrasik on Twitter. And Tony, it's always great to see you. You're always much better dressed than I am. And, you know, we won't talk about your Sixers today, but your Phillies are looking great.
Well, I'm not talking about, we don't talk about the Sixers or we don't talk about Bruno anymore, as they've been saying many, many times. Now, we got our guys, Harry Mays, one of my longtime partners, and all the great gang here at 1210 WPHT, where free speech lives. And that's what's great about doing talk radio. You know, I did sports for a long time, and I still do some sports stuff. But where you can talk about issues and explain to people, you know, without any agendas. I mean, this is common sense. And that's what scares me the most, John, about college campuses. You would think these kids who were there to learn, who missed, obviously, graduating from high school in 2020, and now are not going to have their graduations from college. I mean, you would think these kids would be better informed. And I got to blame a lot of the administration, a lot of the professors who are not really teaching these kids right from wrong. And again, you can protest any way you want, but you can't get violent. And that's the thing that disappoints me the most. We talk about Gen Z. I talk about the greatest generation my father was a part of. I don't know if this Gen Z is going to be regarded as anything but a pretty sad generation, unfortunately.
It's a dangerous generation when almost half of students or children between 18 and 24 think Hamas is in the right. You know, I think it's an example of what we've known. We've known the college campuses have been rampant with anti-Semitism, this woke oppressor ideology. And we shouldn't be surprised that 10, 15 years later, that faculty who were indoctrinated as kids are now teaching. We shouldn't be surprised that the presidents of MIT, UCLA, Columbia, Cornell have also been indoctrinated by this woke ideology. It's insane. We look at it and we go, how does this happen? But it has happened. And I think it's important. We have to educate these kids. You know, we can be angry at these kids, but, you know, many of them think they're doing the right thing because they have been indoctrinated. I was talking to a student the other day who thought that Israel kept Palestinians as slaves. And I'm like, do you understand? I just walked through, you know, Jaffa. There's 2 million Arabs living in Israel pretty well. And so a lot of it is teaching these kids. But the colleges have to have the courage to do that. And the only way we do that is we clean them out. The Gene Block at UCLA has to go. The MIT president, they all have to go. Because they are the problem. They excuse this. They enable it. And frankly, many of them support it. So it's a long battle. But we have to stand up to each and every school. And we'll do that, Tony. I'm going to campuses. I'm talking to kids. I'm singing my song. And I think you see a tide turning with some of these groups pushing back, students pushing back. And, you know, look, they're all hiding behind masks for a reason, because I think deep down, many of them know that what they're doing is shameful. But we have to lead. And that's what colleges have not been doing.
You're absolutely right. Now, our other friends in the studio, and I know you were talking about dressing. I mean, you know, we've been up early, but it's 6:30 in the morning there in L.A., so I'll cut you some slack. Although the hoodie look is good on you, John.
Thank you, buddy. Good. Thank you.
Guys, you want to jump in with John here as he's been gracious to get up early and join us?
Well, I was looking at the lyrics to the song, okay. It's brilliant, and I just wanted to know, I'd love to know, how long does it take to put something like that together? Like, writing those lyrics, what did that entail?
It's a good question. No, typically these songs take a little longer. Every once in a while you get, you know, the stars align. The lyrics came pretty quickly because it's very simple. That, you know, we're not okay, right? Mm-hmm. We're definitely not okay. And the first line is, this is a time for choosing, because it is. I think many Americans have buried their heads in the sand. They don't want to say anything. They're being afraid of being called, you know, a name or being canceled. But the music took a lot longer on this song because I wanted to get the tone right. I listened to some classical kind of funeral marches. I listened to much Jewish music. And on this song, that really took a while to get that right. Some of my other songs, the Afghanistan song, Blood on My Hands, mm-hmm. Can One Man Save the World for Ukraine, those came pretty quickly. But this song, I thought, really, I had to delve into the tone. And it seems, you know, it seems that at least for many folks, it's resonating.
You know, John, I wanted to ask you, because your songs are so meaningful and supportive, especially of our military veterans and those serving, as you talked about with Afghanistan and Five for Fightings, the music video there. Do you feel like you're getting the same play on so-called mainstream media, whether it's TV interviews or being played all over, you know, the radio and that sort of thing?
Well, I'll be honest with you. For both you know, here's an example for Blood on My Hands and for the OK song. You know, we sent those songs out to 400 music outlets and the mainstream media. Virtually nobody has wanted to talk to me, even mm-hmm. though the song has gone global. Israel shared it on their social media. The Ukraine song's a little different. When I wrote the Ukraine song, it debuted on Good Morning America. I was on CNN. So I think it just shows kind of the tribalism of our media, if it fits mm-hmm. their wow. kind of narrative and their
wow.
agenda.
Yeah.
But what's really disappointing to me is this is not right versus left, right? This is right versus wrong. And if you're afraid to have an artist on because he wrote a song that was standing up for people who are fighting terrorists, you know, I think it's just an example of how we're not okay in the media. Our media is broken. Yeah. Our media is broken. There's no common sense. They're all tribal. And it's a disgrace because, as I said, this is not a political issue. These are moral songs. If you abandon your allies and your people you promised to protect and your citizens in Afghanistan, that's breaking your word. If you, in my mind, if you abandon Ukraine to let Putin run amok across Europe, that's not Reagan. That's not America. And if you can't call Hamas evil without words like context or but or circumstance, then something's deeply broken. And I think our media is contributing to this. Look at the BBC. Look at Sky News. Look at AP. They're literally Hamas propagandists. That is a huge, huge problem. And of course, it's nothing new. But I think this episode, you know, in the last few months has really revealed how broken and corrupt much of our media is. I'm not saying they have to agree with everything I say or that we say, but I think we've seen some clarity in a lot of organizations like NOW, you know, the women's organizations have not spoken up for the women being raped in Israel because yes. it's not on their side. What the hell's going on? So I think we've seen a lot. The UN, of course, you know, the most corrupt organization that's basically Hamas surrogate. So all of this stuff, I think, even though it's been a horrible, you know, 6 months, it's been clarifying that we really see where people stand. And maybe that's the one positive thing out of this, you know, debacle.
John, we really appreciate it. I know it's a lot of people. You're doing a lot of good stuff and you're traveling around and going to Israel and meeting with people at UCLA and doing things that really are important. And as a songwriter and a guy who's been around a long time and I've been had the pleasure of meeting and knowing, I really appreciate you coming on, squeezing in some time with us today. God bless, man. Woo. Keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.